up here, choir members.
They are ready for you.
Not the devil's world. The devil is the prince and the power of the air, so he may run the world system, but did he create this beautiful world? No, he did not. So this is God's world that he created, and the devil just runs the world system behind the sin that we see, but this is God's world, and let's praise him for his beautiful creation and for all his wonderful works in our lives. All good things come from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Aren't you glad that God gives us all good things?
Amen.
The devil doesn't give us anything good. He only gives us heartache and problems because of sinful choices. Let's turn to our hymn books as we sing number 13, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Number 13 in our blue hymn book. Crown him with many crowns, number 13. Let's all stand if you're physically able to. If you're not physically able to, you may stay seated.
Crown him with many crowns, Father upon his throne. My God, the heavenly and the throne. Thank you.
we think about that second verse of that song, that crown him the Son of God because he made the world before we all were created, he before the world began, and yet we crown him the Son of Man because he tread where we have trod. He walked the same earth that we have trodden, and he knows every grief that we have known that wrings the human breast and takes and bears them for his own. What are you thankful for about God, our Heavenly Father, and his Son Jesus, who has known every grief that we go through? What are you thankful about him this morning? He'll be first. Eric?
I thank God for being here. I thank God for all these people.
Amen. Amen. James? Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for Tommy. He is praising the Lord in his own way. He is glad to be in church. Praise the Lord for Tommy. Who else?
Thank God
yes.
for watching over me during the night, sparing me of this
Amen. Carol.
I praise him because although he's God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, he's not too busy or too high up to be my Father who art in heaven.
Amen. Patty. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, Maria.
I want to praise God and appreciate God for I'm here every day. I open my eyes and we see the reason and the blessing we have every day from my beautiful sun to the day of my life.
Amen. Praise God. Yes, Jimmy.
I'm thankful for my brother finding the right girl for him and
getting married on the 22nd. Okay, amen. Yes, Mrs. Rice.
I thank the Lord that he is a father to the fatherless and that he is an intercessor for all of us when there will be children of him who has accepted him. You know, and that when it's such a neat picture how God structures the family, that we can that's how we can relate to him in a matter of forgiveness, repentance, communication, a trust, and he is a true provider. So whether somebody is their father's already gone to heaven or their father's absent in the picture, God is the ultimate provider. He even creates, he takes care of everything we need. It's in the scripture, everything that we need, and he knows the hairs on our head and all of those fine point details and how much he loves us and cares for us. So I'm thankful for
it. Amen. And Zion. Amen. Good. Messiah. Zamora. Okay. All right. Let us continue singing. Crown him with many crowns on the third verse.
Crown him the Lord above to triumph for the grave. To go victorious to the strife for those
first, Jonathan, which is crown him the Lord of heaven.
Crown him the Lord of heaven.
Together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be in your house to worship you. We thank you that you have told us that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and even so much the more as you see the day approaching. And we know that your day is coming soon, that you are coming back. We see the world systems continually getting worse, and we see the state of mankind continually getting worse, more deviant, more depraved. But we thank you that you have told us that you are returning to take your bride to be with you. Lord, we pray you'd help us to live pure and live for you in light of this pilgrimage that we are on, that we're not here for forever, that we're only here for a certain amount of time, and then we'll be going to be with you for all eternity. Lord, help us to worship you and praise you this morning. We pray that you'd be with those who are not with us this week. We think of Pastor Logan, who's down in Virginia. We pray you'd keep him safe on this Father's Day. And he's with some of his family down there. We pray you'd bring him back to us safely. We think of the others who we are missing, Lord. We pray you just minister to them and give them your grace and strength. We think of Ethan as he's getting ready for his wedding on the 29th, Lord, we pray you just bless him, guide him, give him safety in travels and on the job as he continues to work to provide for his new family. Lord, we pray you bless Shay and Ethan in their wedding on the 29th. And we pray you bless Brother Daniel and his wife Juana as they come to be with us this Saturday. You'd bring them safely on the plane on Friday into Saturday, as that's a long flight. Lord, we pray you just long few flights. Lord, we pray you give them safety there and bring them to us in with your blessing, and take care of her mother while they are gone, Lord. And we pray you just bless them this summer, Lord. We pray that we would be a rich blessing to them, and we know that they will in turn, Lord. And we pray you just thank you for your provision of an intern, assistant pastoral intern. Lord, we pray you'd bless him and his ministry with us. And we pray you'd, as well, be with Kaylin as she goes down to Florida. Lord, that you take her there in safety as well. We pray that you'd bless her there and her family. And we pray you'd also be with Dawn and Kenny as they move. Lord, we pray you just help everything to get all ready for their move. Lord, we thank you for their ministry here with us. And we pray you'd bless and guide each one that's here today. We thank you for bringing each one. Lord, we pray for Roy today. We thank you that he is here. Pray that you'd help Roy with his physical health, Lord, that you just continue to uphold him, guide him, direct him through your Spirit, and give him the strength that he needs on a daily basis. And we thank you for your great love for us. We pray for our missionaries, the Bruners, the Philippines. We thank you that they had a great ministry this past summer in the Philippines there. They just finished their Vacation Bible School and the other ministries, Lord. We thank you for the many souls that were saved and that now they're following up on. We pray you'd give them church growth down there. And we pray you'd also be with the Larges as they are coming here to the States soon. Lord, we thank you that you provided a pastor to take over that church there. Thank you for their ministry of encouraging and helping churches to be planted and established with good pastors and good workers, Lord. We thank you for the Kellers in Ukraine, Lord. Keep them safe as they plant a church there among his wife's family's area, Lord, that you just keep them safe. And we thank you for your many blessings, and we pray you'd bless this morning worship service. Be with our country, be with our president, his advisors, our Congress, our representatives, our senators, Lord, you give them wisdom that they would seek you in all things, Lord. We pray that this bill that just passed the House would not pass the Senate, Lord, of this equality, quote-unquote Equality Act, that strips away religious freedom in our country, and that strips away female rights as to be able to compete in athletic competitions, that now that it would change to transgender athletes and all the crazy things that would go in under the bathroom laws. Lord, we pray you keep this Equality Act from passing, as it is nothing but a push of sin in this country and the forcing this country to accept open, blatant sin. Lord, help us to pray, help us to call and respond and call our senators and et cetera, and that you would just help this not to pass. We pray you'd bless our country for your honor and glory. And we, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go back to our hymn books. Hymn number 51. 51, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Blessed assurance that he gives us. Let us go to our scripture reading at this time. Psalm chapter 70. Is that where we are, Paul? Or is that old? Is it? That's the new one? Okay. Psalm chapter 70. I'm going to ask Mr. Hodge to come and read for us. Psalm 70. We'll read it responsively. The whole chapter. It's only 5 verses, so let us read it responsibly. And then Proverbs 4:14 through 18.
Let us stand together as we read God's word. Psalms number 70. I think we should read all 5 verses together instead of having it to alternate the reading. Okay. Everyone has it? Okay, let us begin together. Psalm number 70. Make haste, O God, deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded and seek after my soul. Let them be torn backward and put to confusion that desire my heart. Let them be torn back for reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, God, thou art my help and thy deliverer. O Lord, make no tarry. Okay, and Proverbs chapter what, Pastor Rice?
4:14-18.
Proverbs chapter 4. Chapter 4:14-18. Everyone has it? Let's begin, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil man. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep, and except they done mischief, their sleep is taken away, unless they call someone to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is at the shining light, and shineth more and more unto the perfect day. May God bless to our hearts his words. You may be seated.
Amen. Happy Father's Day to one and all. We have something special for all of our fathers and all of our men. See, Evan and Messiah, there's a box right there on the bookshelf. If you and Evan can pass those out to all of our men and our fathers here today. Something special that we want to give to each one as a gift from the church. And if you need a bulletin, raise your hand. Evan's coming around with bulletins as well. All right. If you are a father, please stand. If you are a father, please stand up so we can recognize you at this time. Okay. Wonderful. Okay. Wait. Stay standing. Stay standing. All right. Let's give each father a round of applause. Okay. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. You'll get a gift coming around to you from the church, and we are thankful for you. It says, man of God. Here, can I have one up here, Paul, so I can show everybody?
Thank you.
It's a very special keychain. It comes with a little card. It says, men of God, make a difference. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. That men of God truly do make a difference in this world. And as a token of our appreciation, it's a nice keychain. It says man of God on there. So let's give them all a round of applause. Thank you. You may be seated. Would anyone like to share a testimony about their dad? Something you are thankful for about your dad? Yes, Eric? Paul?
He goes out different places, but I miss my dad because he raised me when I was a little boy. He told me how to fend for myself. That's all I got to say.
Amen. All right. Who else? What are you thankful for about your dad, Jimmy?
My stepdad came into my mom's life.
always been for me, there for me, my brother, sister.
Amen. How many of that happened for you, that your real dad may have gone out, but a stepdad came in and did a great help and a service to you and helping to raise you? Okay, that's important. So thankful for our stepdads as well. Oh, she wants to eat that, huh? Does it feel cold? It feels cold to her teething gums. So she says, oh, that's nice. Who else wants to share a testimony? James? Okay, wonderful. Good. Kids, we have some kids here too. So think of something you're thankful for about your dad, or perhaps your stepdad, or perhaps another man in your life that is kind of filling the place of your dad. Patty. Okay, yes, we miss John Campbell. John Campbell was a charter member of this church. Mr. Hodge.
I'm thankful for my dad. He has gone on to be with the Lord about 8 years ago. And I'm so thankful for him. He has taught me so much. I have learned him in my life. And it was a great blessing to have him. Thank
you. Amen. Anyone else want to share a testimony about your dad? Yes, Lydia? Okay. Anyone else? I'm going to call on Paul and Jonathan up there because they're our oldest here. Paul, what do you want to say?
My dad and you have always been there when I was younger. And you've always been there when I also had my happiness.
Amen. All right, Jonathan? Amen. Amen. Good. Anyone else want to share something about your dad? Or that maybe your uncle. If your dad wasn't there, maybe an uncle that stepped in. You want to share something about him as well? Yes, Robert. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, Maria.
My daddy passed away in 1986. That's a long time ago. So, but I want to say a special thank you for my team, my daddy, the one that raised me up and put me really, in a real way, the life by God and Jesus.
Amen.
Father God.
Amen. Amen. We can all say thank you to Father God who has been there for us all the time through thick and thin. Amen. All right, this time we'll direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. She likes this keychain better than her toy. There we go. So thankful for my children. They are a blessing to me and a great joy in my life. Oh, wait, I think we got some. Snagged here. And even though I'm not a perfect model father all the time, I'm thankful that they still love me and forgive me, and it's a wonderful thing. Where there's reciprocating forgiveness and love in a family. All right, just by way of announcements, on the inside page, we praise the Lord, a big answer to prayer. Last week we were a little bit down and discouraged, not really, because the Lord lifts us up when we're discouraged, but a little bit disappointed, I guess you could say, that our intern did not work out for the summer with Jonathan and his wife Emma. But now the Lord has provided another couple just this week. As you'll see there in the bulletin, the gentleman on the right-hand side, his name is Daniel. And what's his last name, Brother Daniel?
Rivolo.
Brother Daniel Rivolo and his wife, Juana Is that how you say it, Juana?
She's German, so it's actually when she went to fill out her paperwork, country, for whatever reason, they wouldn't let her put it as her name is, which is Juana Leonora.
Ah.
So they gave her just Juana like that, but it's actually Hannah, but not with an A, H-A-N-N-E, so it's kind of
Hannah.
A weird trust.
Okay, Hannah.
Yeah, Hannah.
You say Hannah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Brother Daniel and Hannah. And so Juana is the transliteration into Argentine. So we're thankful for Daniel and Hannah coming to be with us. They're flying in from, they'll be leaving Argentina. And what city are they in Argentina?
Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires. Okay, that's what I thought. Good, I can finally have an excuse to bring out all my Argentinian souvenirs that I got there back when I was in Bible college in 2002, 2003. I went to Argentina for 10 days. So I finally have someone to talk to and share all my Argentinian. I have a Argentina football flag and everything. So I may not want to bring it around Maria because she likes Colombia, right?
After yesterday, it's good. Colombia won 2-0 against Argentina.
So. Oh, okay. All right. So I'm safe bringing the flag out. Okay. And so we'll all learn a bit about the South American culture this summer. That'll be wonderful to end. I'm going to ask him as well to do some interpretation services for us. So while he's here, he can help interpret the services. And if you are interested in helping to start or to keep that ministry going, if you know Spanish and can interpret, we want to start reaching out to our Spanish-speaking neighborhood around us. So we're going to have Brother Daniel start that interpreting into Spanish. So we want to offer that as a service. So if you are interested in learning more about how to do that more efficiently, I'm sure he would love to help teach any who would like to help with that ministry, because we want to get regular Spanish speakers in to our church. So let's pray for Brother Daniel and his wife Hannah as they come, and we do need to host them for dinner. So if you can help host them in your home, or you say, well, my home's not conducive to hosting, you can come over here to the church, meet them here at the church. You can use our kitchen if you want. We'll be here every day, so you know we'll have the church open for you. And you can use the kitchen if you want to cook here and then eat here. Or if you want to take them out to a restaurant. Those are your three options. And we'd love to have you get to know them better. And it's such a blessing to reach out to someone, because in return, you get reached out to. Your needs get met when you meet someone else's needs. So that's why I love reaching out to people, because I always feel more blessed than, you know, after I'm done, because the Lord has used them to be a blessing to me. So here's the sign-up list. June, they're only here from the 23rd on through the 30th of June. And then August, they're only here about a week. But in July, we'll need the whole month filled. So if you can help us with any of these meal schedules, my wife and I are taking them every Wednesday. That we're here, so we'll pass this around, and that way, where do we want to start this? Start on this side here. I know Mr. Hodge is leaving for a couple weeks, so he may not be able to sign up right away, but pray for the Hodges. When are you leaving, Brother Wellington?
25th.
Okay, so let's pray for Mr. Hodge. He leaves next Monday to go to Florida to be with their daughter for a couple weeks. So pray for them. All right, then just by way of other announcements, so when that comes to you, pray about what day on your schedule that you can take that, have them for dinner, or take them out to dinner, or host them here at the church and make something here at the church for them, or you can even bring it into the church and eat here, whatever is easier for you. Then this Saturday morning, we're going out at 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., BBT Blitzing. And so we'd love to have you join us, kids included, teens, as well at Thursday night, we might be able to go out as well. So if you're interested in either of those times, let me know so we can tell the good news about Jesus and invite them to BBT. We had a great time out yesterday. Who wants to share? Lydia, Paul, do you want to share about BBT blitzing and soul winning yesterday? How'd that go? Yeah, go ahead.
It was good. The first house that we visited, they seemed really interesting, BBT, and since they were coming, Keith's family, and then everyone else who went to visit, they also was interested in food. A lot of them got to hear the gospel, but no one got saved.
Okay, amen. Amen. So Keith's family is coming. He's got two younger younger brother and younger sister. Paul?
So that all the other ones, like, we're just staying in the back of the north. And there was this lady who was going to be coming over, and she had a voice, so she was pretty interested in having her over.
Amen. Amen. All right, at this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. Let us pray for God to meet our needs this summer in our through our tithes and offerings that you give to God as He gives to you the first portion, give to Him, and He will bless you. He will make your other portion to go farther. It's by faith that we give to God, and sure enough, He will make you more richly blessed than you already are. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for today. Have the money you found to feed the Lord. Just want to pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let us turn back in our Majesty Hymn Book this time. Majesty Hymn Book 510. 510 in our Majesty Hymn Book. Let's all stand together as we sing this through two times. Walk worthy of the Lord. 510 in the red hymn book. Thank you. All right, before we dismiss the children, we got a Father's Day balloon yesterday that came down in the yard. Why don't Paul was out there and Mrs. Rice was out there. Why don't you share about this balloon?
Yeah, I can take it.
All right, so I was over here at the church last night briefly with Pastor, and I went back, and the sun was going down, it was getting pretty dark, and Paul was up fixing his bike. It's okay, let's wrap it up, and we're just kind of closing things up at night, and I don't know if I gave him a hug or what, and I looked up, and I was like, what's that? It's dark, I'm trying to figure out what this object is in the air. And it was coming towards us, and within minutes, you know, it's hard to have a perspective at rate of speed at night, so I thought it was coming down slower than it was. It came down pretty quickly, and Paul took us just a few steps, was coming right as the wind, and just reached up and pulled it down, and I noticed there was no attached. So as we reflect on Father's Day, I shared this with my husband last night. I just thought this was very tender and very touching. This is written by some children. You can see their little sticker right here. And it says, "Dear Dad, I hope you're feeling better up there in heaven. I miss you so very much every day. I keep thinking about this time last year when I first started to all of you this up. Would do anything to go back and see you. So that you can see you again. Love you. Happy Father's Day. And to the best. I love Megan." And then also from P.S. Ella and Brian really miss you. So it's just an appreciation for our father. So never know how much time we have with each person that we love.
Amen. So call your dad today, if he's still alive. If he's not, then thank the Lord for him. And even if your dad wasn't there for you, we're thankful that you can call your Heavenly Father today. And so call him in prayer all through the day. Thank God for him, for his tender watch care over us. So, all right, this time we'll dismiss the young people to go for their special time. As sixth grade and younger. And the rest of us, let's turn our Bibles as we look at the blessings about a godly father, the blessings of being a godly father and a godly grandfather, the blessings of being a godly father and a godly grandfather, and the blessings of being a godly man as well. Let's see how many grandchildren and great-grands we have represented here. Brother Hodge, how many grandchildren or great-grands do you have?
We do have five great-grands and two children.
All right, wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, five grandchildren, two children. All right, and Roy, how many grandchildren and great-grands do you have? Six great-grands?
No, six grandchildren.
Six grandchildren.
And four great-grands.
Four great-grands. All right. You take the winner today, okay, Roy? You get the winner. So happy Father's Day. Happy Grandfather's Day. Happy Great-Grandfather's Day. That's a privilege to be able to see your great-grandchildren. That's definitely not a given. That's a blessing from God. And Roy is 95, right, Roy? 95 years old. Wow. Amen. Amen. So what are you thankful for about your dad, Roy?
Amen.
through God.
Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to have a dad who's saved and leading the family. All right, Joshua 24:15. We're going to go rather quickly through a few verses to see the blessings of being the truth about a godly father. The world tells us that men, being a man is at times it says masculinity is toxic. The world says at times masculinity is, oh no, that's not appropriate anymore. We live in a day and age where you shouldn't be masculine. You should just be whatever else is the alternative to that. The world is telling us a lot of different things about a man and the way he should live and act and do things. But you know what? The world is very fickle. The world is going to change its standards for men with each passing year. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change His standards for men?
Amen.
With each passing year? Joshua 24:15, we see, it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing to be reminded of these great truths this morning, the blessings of a godly men. Lord, I pray you just help us to be that godly man, Lord, that you would help us to lead our families for you, and lead our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces, nephews, cousins, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, Lord, that you'd help us to have a godly impact on them as men, and for each lady here, that you'd help them to support the godly men in their life, Lord, that they would support them, that they would help them, whether it be in this church or in their family or in their community, Lord, help them to support the godly men and help them to live for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve," Joshua said. Now Joshua is old at this point, so he's not just a godly father, but he's a godly grandfather by this point. This man, Joshua, has been through a lot. He was with Moses through through all the different years of there in the Mount of Sinai. He was with them in the wilderness wanderings. He was the right-hand man to Moses. Can you imagine having that great leader as your mentor? That would be wonderful to have a Moses to follow. Well, here now we see Joshua has led Israel for many years. He's got to be in his 80s, pushing 90 at least. And so he's a godly grandfather by this point. And he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
That is a wonderful reminder that, number one, we see that a godly father serves the Lord, not by himself, but serves the Lord with his family. A godly father serves the Lord with his family. We can't leave our family behind. We can't leave our wife behind. We can't leave our children behind. We've got to do it together, because if not, the devil will get our family. The devil will see to it to try to make, if we're not giving our wife the time that she needs, guess what? The devil will see to it that someone else is going to give our wife the attention she needs. If we're not giving our children the time they need, the devil will make sure that someone else fills in that time and gives our children the attention they need. Okay, and it won't be good things, it will be all bad things. Okay, so as men, we need to realize the buck stops with us. We need to serve the Lord with our family. Okay, so here we see that Joshua said, "We will serve the Lord." Let us remember our wife. Let us remember our children. And perhaps you're here and you say, "Well, I don't have a wife and I don't have children." Well, serve the Lord with whoever you live with. In your home, Help them to serve the Lord. Help them to come to know Christ as Savior. Help them to have a love for God in their life. Read the Bible to them. Read the Bible with them. One of the neatest things we do together as a family is we eat together dinner. Every night we eat dinner together, and sometimes we can do lunch together, but that's not often. But we always do dinner together, and we all, as we sit around the table after we're done eating, we try to make sure we read a few verses of Scripture each night. It's not long. It's not a whole chapter of Scripture. Otherwise, it would be too long. But a few verses of Scripture. We share a few verses, and then I ask a couple questions about it, or someone chimes in about it. And it's a nice time to just bring the Lord into our home and to make it a sweet environment. Because the Lord needs to sweeten our home environment, right? Amen. That if the only time the Lord sweetens our home environment is when our whole family's in church, guess what? We're missing out. We're missing out on the whole home environment, bringing the Lord into our home. So it's good to read a few verses of Scripture around the dinner table. As soon as the meal is done, have the Bible right there so you can just grab it and read it. You know, doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out process. Well, we have to pray a long prayer and then we have to... No, just make it short, sweet, simple. You say, well, I'm not. There's no man in my home to do that. So how can I sweeten our home? You do it. You do it. You set the stage then. If you're a lady, and there's no man who will read the Bible in your home, then you do it. You be the spiritual leader in that home, and God will give you the blessing and the fruit of it as well. He will sweeten that home environment. It's important to read a verse, or at least one verse of Scripture, each time that the family is together or the home body is together. Okay? So Joshua said, we're going to serve the Lord together. Why? Because the alternative is for the devil to come in and to divide and conquer the family. What happens when the devil comes into the home? Well, the devil loves to come into the home. We bring him in. Anytime we watch something on TV we shouldn't watch. We bring him in every time we bring people on the TV screen that shouldn't be in our home. You know, if they're cursing, if they're saying bad words, if they're talking dirty, if they're showing dirty things, if they're not dressing modestly, if they're talking about rude and crass and ugly things, guess what? We're bringing the world and the devil right into our home. So the only way... we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't bring the devil into our home. But the only way to get the devil back out of our home, if we've already done that, is by reading the Scriptures in our home. Bring the Lord back into the home through prayer, of course. Pray at each meal. You know, Joshua, I'm sure he prayed at each meal. He led his family in the prayer life. He said, hey, children, we're going to follow the Lord. Let's pray to our great Jehovah God. And he'd lead them in prayer. And then he would read the Scriptures with them. And Joshua knew much of the Scriptures because he had it memorized. Okay? So, number one, a godly father serves the Lord with his family. Okay? Serves the Lord with his family. Number two, a godly father, let's go to Proverbs 1, or Proverbs 4 and verse 1. Proverbs 4 and verse 1. Would like to read that for us? Who's got it? Yeah, Proverbs 4 and verse 1.
Hear ye. Excuse me. Hear ye, children, the instruction of the Father, and attend to no understanding.
And verse 2 as well. Okay, and in verse 3 says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. So who is sharing this here? Boy, this is a good father that was teaching his son. Who was this father's son, who was this son's father that was sharing God's word with him? Who wrote Proverbs? Can anyone tell it? Solomon, King Solomon. He's remembering back to the days when he was a child. What did his father do? Who was his father? David. He's remembering his father David doing what with him? Praying with him. Good. What else is he remembering him doing with him?
Teaching him.
Good. Giving him biblical instruction. What else is he doing for him? He's teaching him to know and understanding, to know how to apply the Word of God to his life. It's not just, okay, this is what God says, that's it. No, David took time with young Solomon to say, Solomon, now listen, you need to do this for God, because God's going to bless you if you do this. Now stay away from this over here, Solomon, because it's not been good, you know. Don't do that. And so he's teaching him doctrine. He's teaching him, hey, God is our Father. You know, God is our Heavenly Father. And then Jesus, the Son, who I wrote about in Psalm 2, David describes the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And then David describes the Holy Spirit that soothed King Saul when he would play. And so David would share these things with his young son Solomon. And you can just see Solomon thinking back. Wow, I remember that when my dad told me these things. So a godly father instructs his family, teaches them good doctrine. Okay, doctrine is so important in the Christian life. Doctrine is the word that means teachings. Okay, the teachings of the Bible. The teachings of the Bible. What does the Bible say about money? That's the doctrine. Concerning money. Jesus spoke much about money. What does God say about purity? Well, that's the doctrines about purity. What does the Bible say about marriage? That's the doctrines regarding marriage. What does the Bible say about justification of Jesus Christ, sanctification, how we grow in our Christian life? What does the Bible say about being set free from the law? And what about all the other doctrines? Sin, angels, hell, heaven, salvation, how to grow in the Christian life. Those are all doctrines, and guess what? We find them right here in the Word of God. Amen. So here, Solomon's saying that, hey, my dad taught me good doctrine, and now I'm going to teach my children good doctrine. We see even in Solomon's children, Rehoboam, we see some remnants of good doctrine. Sadly, Rehoboam chose to follow his friends rather than his father's advisors, you know. But Rehoboam had good training. He did some good things in his life. But so we see here that is so important that we teach our children doctrine. Okay? The Bible doctrines of the Word of God. Why? Because that's going to keep them, that's going to set them apart for God. And it's not going to, the world can't take that away from them. When we teach our children doctrine, teachings of the Bible. Okay, so important. Okay, number three, let's go to Proverbs 3 and verse 12. Proverbs 3 and verse 12. Okay, who has that one? To read it nice and loud. Let's have some of our men read some verses here. Wellington?
For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son, in whom he delighteth.
Okay, so how many, as dads, you don't love your children? Raise your hand if you don't love your children. Okay. How many as dads love our children? Raise your hand. Okay. Good. Okay, you love your children. So what does this verse say that we'll do if we love our children? Correct. So a godly
of man, a godly father corrects his children. What does that mean?
Corrects.
Right,
reproves. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth or reproveth. Okay, let's go to other passages of Scripture says that the Lord has to chasten us at times, and a good father chastens the son. Okay, that every son whom he delighteth in, that the father's going to chasten him. That means he's going to have to at times spank him, discipline him. That's right. When they're young, easiest way to get a young child's attention is what? Spanking. What about a timeout chair? Does that really work for, you know? Of course, you have to do it in school. They can't touch your kid at school, but. But a timeout chair doesn't really work with a one-year-old. It doesn't get it that much. You know, it may do something. You know, the world tries all kinds of different ways. But really, the way to get a boy's attention is with a firm, quick spanking. And what does that do? That sends a message. Hey, don't do that. That's going to hurt you. Just like that hurts, well, guess what? What you were doing is going to hurt you if you keep doing that. You know, what happens if that child runs, never listens to mom and dad, and runs out in the street? They're going to get killed. You know, they run out, I'm not going to listen to you, mom, dad. They run out in the street to play in the street. Well, they're going to get killed. So we're trying to keep them from killing themselves with sin, with the devil's witchcraft, and all the bad things that are out there. And so a spanking, a good firm spanking that, you know, just stings. Spanking only stings. It doesn't leave a mark, okay? It doesn't bruise, okay? It doesn't leave marks. It doesn't, you know, they're quick to go away. It stings. It just stings. Why? So it gets the child's attention. That's what God says, that a godly father must correct his children. It says in another verse in Proverbs, that don't spare not the rod. That he that spareth the rod hateth his son. It says in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him.
Right.
Okay, so foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. We've got to get that foolishness out of the child. Just like when we were young, that foolishness was in us, and it had to be gotten out of us, okay? So it may not be popular to the world to reprove or correct your children. Well, you don't. You just want to be real nice. You don't ever want to. You never want to do anything that will show any type of anger. You never want. Well, guess what? That's the only way a child will learn that. Hey, that is not okay. And you do that. You keep doing that. You're going to be in trouble. You're gonna get off and it's no wonder why so many 20-something-year-old kids are out there on their own, and they're getting in all kinds of trouble. Why? Because they didn't have anyone to correct them. Show them good discipline. My dad, he showed me good discipline. He said, son, if you do that, you're going to be in trouble. You're gonna hurt for it. Don't do that. And in order to help you remember that, I'm going to have to spank you. And he did. And sure enough, he gave me boundaries. And now I'm thankful for those boundaries. I wish he did it more. You know, hey, give me more boundaries. Why? Oh, Dad, if only you would have said this and that, you know. How many of us wish our parents would have given us even more boundaries than we had, right? Or more instructions. Oh, yes, please. You know, now we're not crying about the spankings. Now we're crying about the fact they didn't give us more. So it would help us more. So that's the principle. Correct our children while they're young, and they'll thank you for it later. They will thank you for it. They'll say, thank you, Dad, so much for that. Okay, and if you're not a dad, if you're a mom, and you have to be that disciplinarian, do it for the Lord, and the Lord will help you. Proverbs 17:6. Proverbs 17, verse 6. It shows our children we love them when we correct them. Love is correction. If we don't love our children, we're never going to correct them. We don't love our grandchildren, I don't care how they turn out. That doesn't show love. Love is correction. Okay, number Proverbs 17, verse 6. Who has that one? A man has that one. Danny?
Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers.
Okay, so what is this teaching about a godly father and a godly grandfather?
What is this teaching?
A godly father is a glory to his children.
Is a glory to his children.
If you have children that you raised, or maybe kids that you helped to raise, maybe in the church, and you helped to have an impact on them, well, that's a blessing. And they think of you as a glory. Oh, man, I'm so proud of my dad. He's such a great guy because he can do this and that, and he has taken time to show me this. You know, that's what they think of us when they think if we've done our job well, or if we're doing our job well, we will be a glory to our children. And that's a good thing. That's just like God, our Father, is our glory, right? So we are a lesser glory to our children. God, the Father, is the greatest glory, and all glory be to Him. And we think, whenever we think of Him, we just say, glory! Wow! Praise God! Thank you, God! You know, well, how much, in a lesser way, children think of their father as a glory. Oh, glory! Oh, my father, he's great. You know, I'm so proud of my dad. He can do anything. Or, you know, they think that anyway. They think that of us, but if the truth were to be told, there's a lot of things we can't do. But don't tell them that, right? Okay, that young children especially, they think their dad can do anything, and that should be the way it is. You know, that little girl should think their daddy can set the moon up. You know, and all this, not really. God only sets the moon up, but they should think they're special. Why? Because we want to show them that they are special. Okay, so let us be a glory to our children, and God, of course, gets all the glory for. Because He is good to us. Okay, Proverbs 19:14. Proverbs 19:14. What other man has that one? Or young men. We'll have our young men read too, because someday, if the Lord tarries, you guys are going to be a father. Okay, Evan?
Out of the riches follows the inheritance of the fathers. A prudent wife is from the Lord.
Okay, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers. So what is this verse saying? What does a godly father do?
He instructs his son in the things of God.
Okay, yes, we looked at that. He teaches them good things. But he is a what for his family?
Provider.
He is a provider for his family. Notice here the first part. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers. So what do you inherit from your father? Hopefully a house, right? Or some kind of dwelling to live in. And some kind of material possessions of some sort. Hopefully you got something out of your childhood, you know, that they didn't leave you stranded, you know. That's the father's job, is to provide for his children. You know, make sure they have shoes and clothes and food on the table and a shelter over their heads. That's the father's job. Well, see here, a godly father is a provider for his children. That's important. That's an important job of being a father, is to provide for his family, provide for their needs. And a prudent wife is from the Lord. Okay, that if you have a good wife, a prudent wife, a wife that can help you in your role as a father and help raise the children and help love on the family, that's a good thing. That's from the Lord. That your wife is from the Lord. So love her as well. Provide for her. Make sure she has the things she needs. You know, one of the ways we can repay our wife is to compliment them. You know, don't just say, or don't just say, oh, here's the money, honey. That's it. As if we're just given the paycheck, right? Here's the money, honey. No, compliment them. Say, hey, thank you for your job, what you're doing. You know, thank you. And maybe if she's working, you know, thank her for working and thank her for helping to provide the income. And, you know, make sure we compliment our wife on what they're doing because they are taking care of our family. If it weren't for her, you know, if it weren't for my wife, you know, our family would not be very sweet, you know. She brings the sweetness into the home, you know. Man, we're just about, this project, next project, got to do this, got to do that. You know, we think we're project-oriented as men. But what is the wife more concerned about than projects? She's concerned about the people in the home. Well, how's everyone feeling? How's everybody doing? Are they doing well emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally? You know, the wife is concerned about the interpersonal relationships. So men are more concerned about getting the jobs done and providing, and that's how God built us. But we need to thank our wife, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. And so we need to tell them how much they're valued. Okay, for taking care of things and setting up the home and wanting to do things. Oh, then we see, what's the next part? Godly father, Proverbs 22:28. Proverbs 22:28. Who would like to read that? Who has it as a man? Who's got it? Daniel?
Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set.
Okay, so what are fathers supposed to do according to this verse? Set the standards. Okay? The father is supposed to set the standards for the family. In other words, remember in Israel they each inherited from their tribes. The 12 tribes of Israel each inherited a certain portion of land. And within those 12 each of those tribes, then they'd earn a portion of that land within. Okay? Well, their fathers worked and tilled that land and bought that land and worked hard for it and did so much. So what is a father's job is to remove not the ancient landmark. Hey, your father set the standard for you to have a home and to live and to do things. Well, guess what? Don't remove those ancient landmarks spiritually as well. Just like there's physical landmarks, there's also spiritual landmarks. We need to set the standard in the home and say, hey, not only are we going to provide for this home, but we're not going to do this over here that the world does, and we're not going to do that over there that the world does. Instead, we're going to do this. We're going to go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday. We're going to be in church. And you know what? We're going to not listen to that worldly music. We're going to get that out of our home. We're going to listen to this music instead, godly music. And we're not going to watch any programs that have these ratings on them because that's not something that's godly in this home, and we're not going to do that. And you know, we're going to do this instead. We're going to read our Bible and pray each night at the dinner table. That's setting the standards for the home. And that's what a godly man, a godly husband, a godly father needs to do. And like I said, if you don't have a godly man in your home, as ladies, God will give you the help to set those standards in the home. And to keep those standards, that God will help the ladies as well. If for the absence of a godly man, God will provide. He will be your husband in that spiritually in that sense. As your spiritual husband, he will help you to set the standards in the home. As your father, as Jesus Christ is our groom, that he will help set those standards for you and help as a lady keep those standards. And then next one we see Proverbs 23:22. I'm going to have Brother David read this one for us. Brother David Stahl. Proverbs 23:22. Okay, so what is the godly father supposed to do in this
passage.
Or what are you supposed to do to a godly father? Okay, good. Honored, respected. He's listened to by his family. He's listened to. You know, we're definitely not perfect. I'll be the first to say that. You know, there's no father out there that's perfect. There's no husband out there that's perfect. But in our own feeble efforts at times, we still try to set the point of God's word and God's standards. And so we need to be listened to by our wife and by our children. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. We need to listen to our parents. Young people, God put them over you for a reason, because he loves you and he's giving you specific instructions from them. Okay, your aunts. Okay, listen to your aunts. Listen to your uncle. They're over you for a reason. God's giving them special wisdom. You say, well, but they're not saved. Doesn't matter if they're saved or not. God's giving them a special wisdom to be able to raise you and provide for you and to help you in your life and to give you insight into things. Okay, so listen to your guardian. Listen to them. And do not despise their teachings. Okay? And then last one, Proverbs 23:24. Proverbs 23:24 and 23:25. What man would like to read that for us? Okay. Danny, go ahead. Okay, so what's the last one here? A godly father, what?
Rejoice.
He rejoices in his family. A godly father rejoices in his family. That's so important that the world is a dog-eat-dog world, and there's a lot of problems, and every day we go through trials and sufferings. Why? Because we're in a mortal human body. But you know what? There's certain things we should have joy in. We should have joy in God. We should have joy in our salvation every day. We should have joy in all the good things that are happening in life, and the joy of peace with God, and all the wonderful things he gives to us. One of the things God wants us to rejoice in every day is in our family, in our children, in our... look for the bright spots in your family. Don't look for all the things that could be better. You know, that's so easy to think about. Well, I'd be happy if only they were doing this in my family. You know, we could probably list, 10 things and how everyone could treat us better. But you know what? God doesn't say do that. God says instead, rejoice in your family. Rejoice in your family. Rejoice in your children. Rejoice in your wife. Rejoice in what you still have. Don't make a list of all you don't have and all the things that could go better. Rejoice in all the blessings God has given you. We have so much to be thankful for as Christians. You know, we're not on our way to hell. Praise God, Jesus saved us. We opened up our heart to him. We turned from our sins and we believed on Jesus as our Savior at one point in our life. So praise God, if you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. So that we've got so much to look forward to, and God's given us some people to live with. So let's make the best of it. We all have strengths and weaknesses. Every one of us, I don't care who you are, you've got strengths and weaknesses. Okay? Well, let's not look at the weakness side, let's look at the strength side of the people that we live with. Hey, my child is really good at this, or my grandchild is really good at that. And my niece or nephew, they're really good at this. And my cousin over here, my brother, my sister, they're really good at that. And my wife, boy, she can do this great. And my husband, boy, he's wonderful at that. You know, if we start counting all the things that are everyone's good at, guess what? We'll have a lot more than 10 things. We'll have a lot of things. You know, and so we can rejoice over all the wonderful things that God is doing in our family. And even if they're not saved yet, you can still thank God for all the good things they're doing. You know, that all you have to do is you say, well, what do I thank God for about so and so? You know, well, just listen to a proud grandmother talk about her grandchildren, or a proud grandfather talk about his grandson. You know. Just listen to them as you're out in the community and they're showing pictures to someone. Hey, look what little Johnny did, you know, and showing on the phone what little Johnny just did. And you say, you know what? They've got the idea right, you know. Let's rejoice in all the things they're doing well at. There is not one person who can do everything right. Not one. And guess what? You'll never marry him because he doesn't exist, you know. Or you'll never marry her because she doesn't exist. Okay, so we all have strengths and weaknesses. Let's accentuate and talk about the strengths of each person to rejoice in our family, rejoice in our children, rejoice in our wife, and God will bless us richly, and He'll unify us as a family. We'll find we have so much good things to talk about. Why? Because we're talking about all the good things in our family, and God will bless us. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to be reminded this morning of the great heritage that we have, that has been given and handed down to us by our forefathers, by King David, King Solomon, and all the wisdom in the Bible, and all the apostles, and all the great men who have written down Your word for us to have, that we can know good doctrine. But we know not one of them was perfect. Not one of them was the perfect father or husband or grandfather or uncle, but we know that they all were seeking Your will, Lord. Help us to do the same, that we would seek Your will in our lives, that we would desire to be the person that You would have us to be, the Christian You'd have us to be, Lord. Help us to make our family better, not make it worse. Help us to lift up our family in prayer all the time, that You can bless us. And I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't yet know Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us go to our hymn book as we close this service. Let us go to our hymn book as we close the service. 816. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. 816. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Would You come as we sing? Would You come? Pray for your family. Thank God for your family. Would You come to the altar this morning? Have Thine own way.
Thank you.
way back tonight at 7 o'clock for evening service. We're looking at why suffering, why trials in the Christian life. We're looking at three more Bible reasons why suffering in the Christian life. And it helps us to understand what God is doing in our life to strengthen us, mold us, and make us better Christians. So come on back tonight for that special time at 7 o'clock. Let us close in prayer this time. Brother Stahl, would you close?
Lord, we thank you that you allow us to come together